Hello, and welcome to another episode of Tech Webcast. Please like us on Facebook and Twitter at Tech Webcast. Thank you.
Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast.
Minus 10. Tech Webcast. 9.
Tech Webcast.
7.
Tech Webcast.
6. 5. 4. 3. 3. 2. 1. 0. Ignition.
A beautiful liftoff. Climbing nicely, Mr. Space. Roll program initiated.
Vinyl is back, baby. And if you don't want to miss the boat on all things vinyl, then you should jump right over to Still Spinning. That's STILL. Still Spinning on YouTube. It's Kevin Carpenter's wonderful channel where he has video after video on all things vinyl. So Kevin also has a Facebook page at facebook.com/stillspinning3. That's the number 3, where you can continue the conversation. So if you want that new turntable, if you're after the Beatles White Album, or you don't know what vinyl is all about, just jump over to Still Spinning on YouTube and hook up with Kevin Carpenter. We thank Kevin and Still Spinning for supporting Tech Webcast.
I need a website, son.
What, Pop?
I need a website.
Well, if you're like Pop and you need a website, why not get on the internet and type furiousmarketing.com.au? They build all types of websites and can also help you with marketing your website. Furious Marketing can also be found on Facebook at Furious Marketing. So for all things website and marketing, you should be following furiousmarketing.com.au.
Is they furious at me, son?
Shh, no. That's their name and the ad's over. Welcome to the Tech Webcast Podcast, episode 436, recorded on the 15th of July, 2017. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday at noon Melbourne time. Please rate us on iTunes and like us at facebook.com/techwebcast. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast and download the Tech Webcast iPhone or Android app. You can also support Tech Webcast at patreon.com/techwebcast. Your hosts today are Brad, myself, Daryl, Jacob, and all the way from Turkey, that's Aldwin, who's in Turkey today. And we're not having a guest today because we're going to be talking about the iPhone's 10th anniversary. So, good afternoon, Brad.
Good afternoon, Daryl Hunt. How are you, mate?
I'm very well, thank you. Yes, except I spilt my morning coffee this morning, so that didn't put me in the best of moods. But other than that, no, I'm fine.
What do you pay for a coffee?
About $4.50 for a large cappuccino. And it was my fault. I sort of rushed because it's the ski season here. There's little people queued up getting takeaways. So I rushed to get it so I'd get back for the podcast. And I had it sitting on my desk here getting ready and the lid mustn't have been on properly and I brushed it with my arm and it went splash all over my lap. And
oh, no.
So I didn't have my morning coffee, so I'm in a caffeine-free zone at the moment. It's like, I've got the shakes.
Have you got any Coke nearby?
No, look, I'll be fine. When the podcast is finished, I'll get down and re-caffeinate. But no, I haven't got any Coke nearby, so I haven't got anything to recaffeinate with at the moment.
Do you drink Coke much, Daryl?
Sometimes, more during the summer.
than winter. But I do on and off sometimes with a bit of Bundaberg rum in it occasionally on a Friday night. So
Coke's good.
Yeah. I support the Australian. I support Bundaberg rum that's up there and somewhere up there in the wilds of Queensland. So
sponsor it. You should sponsor us, Bundaberg rum.
Yeah, come on, sponsor us. You know, the white polar bear, Bundaberg. So come and sponsor Tech Webcast. We don't mind.
We're talking about the iPhone birthday that happened a few weeks back.
Yeah, it's 28th of June, 2007. Steve Jobs announced the original iPhone, which I don't think made its way to Australia. Well, not legally. It wasn't in the shops. I think people could have bought it and had it shipped out. But and it was, I guess, the big groundbreaking jump from all the phones that we'd previous had, the old feature phones that were very clunky. When you compare them to even the original iPhone, were very, very clunky and all that. And suddenly Steve Jobs brought out this device that sort of ushered in the era of what we now call the smartphone. And the world's never been the same since, whether you like it or hate it. The world's never been the same since Steve Jobs made that big announcement.
And we've got Jacob on. Welcome to the podcast, Jacob. Welcome back, homie.
Thank you, homie. Big dog, big cheese.
Okay. So Jacob's got a question for you, Daryl, about the vinyl ad.
Oh, the vinyl ad. Yes, what's the question?
Go ahead, Jacob.
I didn't know what you wanted me to ask, Brad.
You need to have rehearsed this before the show, boys.
me and Jacob, I asked Jacob to ask about the comment you made in the intro and for the ad about cook up. Were you actually going to cook some vinyl in the ad?
Oh, well, I could cook some vinyl. Did I say cook up? Hook up. It was did I mangle the hook up and cook up?
Yeah.
I could cook some vinyl. I've seen record players mangle vinyl, like scratch across it and all the rest of it. So you could cook up a few vinyl records. I've seen them cracked and broke.
I'm surprised people haven't come to me and said to me something about that. That's
I'd never even noticed that I'd mangled it because it might be just my accent or something. I might have sort of, because I try when I'm doing anything like that to really give good diction so that, I'm not mumbling so people actually understand, because you want people to actually know what. But I'll probably do another one anyway for those couple anyway, just to change it up a bit. I've sort of got to fit it in between at the moment. We're getting... Across the road from where I live, there's quite a bit of building works going on. They're building a couple of apartments on a vacant block. So I have to sort of do things in between builders going crunch, 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 crunch and doing stuff. But I will do my best to just do a couple of new ones anyway.
All right, awesome. And before we go back to Jacob, how's your week been, Daryl?
Good. A good week. I'm madly rehearsing for Jekyll and Hyde, the musical, which is coming out in late October, early November. So we've been rehearsing for that. And last Sunday, I had to do a friend of mine who passed away from cancer about 3 months ago now. They had a memorial up here for him, so I spoke at that. So, it was mixed feelings. It was sad, but it was also a celebration of his life. He was very much involved in theatre and music and all that sort of stuff. So I had to do that last Sunday, so it was very nice to say as a final goodbye to a very close friend. The week's been good. Can't complain.
Awesome. And also last week, I was on last week's show, Daryl. Good episode, by the way, last week.
Thank
good
you. Job. Oh, man, we pushed through without you. We pushed through without you. It was a hard slog, wasn't it, guys? But we got there.
Yes. Apart from Aldwyn playing a song in the podcast.
Oh, well, that's all right.
Oh, what was wrong with that?
nothing was wrong with it.
It's interesting with
copyright.
Interesting with podcasting. Oh. And it's a whole copyright thing. I mean, we could always do, we can almost do an episode on copyright. I mean, it's really difficult because they're not consistent. I mean, like on YouTube, I've seen, videos up for years, with Deep Purple or whoever, and you sort of think, hold on, why hasn't that been pulled down? You know, because it's obviously a bridge, and it hasn't. And yet other people put, you know, snippets of things into videos, like gaming videos. They might have some gaming music, you know, playing underneath, and they get their videos flagged, you know, because they've got the broken copyright. It's just so confusing. What's right and wrong?
Oh, I would have thought if you attribute it to them, that it would be okay, because with each bit of music.
Yeah, but that's all good. Nothing happens.
It is confusing, because you're right. You think, oh, well, if I, you know, and the other irony is particularly if it's music that may not be super popular or super popular 20 years ago, by putting it on and giving it a play and giving it an attribution, you think the copyright is saying, yay, it might give us a plug, we might get a heap more sales or whatever, but some of them just don't see that. They just clamp down.
Ooh, interesting. Well, maybe with some of the mainstream acts. I mean, the bands that I played I played was from 30 years ago. You know, I think half the members are now dead. And, you know, I mean, the vinyl that's around of those guys are very much collector's items now. And you know, I'd love to see someone from that time, you know, or even someone from the band come out and let us know where they're at, because the leftovers we haven't heard of for so many years. So
And it used to be 50 years. It used to be once upon a time that copyright died 50 years after the death of the composer. And, you know, like, I can, you know, so, but I think it's changed, depends on your country, but I think it's changed again. But, yeah, it is, it's sort of, there's a balance. I understand, you know, people don't want whole albums just put on the internet and shared out and no one's buying anything. But there's a balance too, because you can also help promote music and other things by just giving it a plug and taking a section of a song and saying, hey, listen to the rest, go and buy the rest of this album, you'll love it or whatever. But, yeah, you do run the risk of either on YouTube getting flagged, or I guess with an audio podcast, iTunes sort of catching up with it and saying, well, you know, that was copyright, and you know, I don't know whether they just delete the episode or what they, or not delete, they can't actually delete the episode, but delete the link to that particular episode. I don't know what they do, actually.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Interesting.
But anyway, Jacob, how's it been, mate? Anything aside happened, or?
Nothing happened. We've been having a lot of rough rainstorms.
Okay.
But here's the thing. I don't know, it was like yesterday or the day before, me and my mom were sitting in the living room. We were looking out the sliding room door, and one of the lightning bolts, you could actually see it.
Wow.
It was only like 500 feet away.
Far out. And also shout out to Dutch Vinyl, to James and Jeff at Dutch Vinyl. They run a record shop, Daryl.
Oh, okay. Yep. Dutch Vinyl. I think I've heard you mention them before. Yeah. I like them all. Yep.
Because they look after me a lot down there sometimes. And I just want to give them a quick shout and a quick mention on the podcast.
Excellent. Well done, Dutch Vinyl.
They didn't actually know that I was going to get mentioned. So it's a bit of a surprise for them.
Cool.
Jacob, you know who they are, don't you?
Yes, I do.
James and Jeff and Mark is the owner. So we're actually going to have them on the podcast, but they couldn't come on one day. Something happened. But yeah.
Yep. Cool.
Check them out if you're in Melbourne. Yeah. What else, Jacob, do you want to mention?
Aren't they on Twitter?
Yes, they are. They are on Twitter. Yes. That's Vinyl.
Yes. They're on Instagram.
Yep.
And Facebook.
And Facebook. Really good store. Really great store. You get great prices, cheap, you know. Awesome shop. Let's go to Alden. Alden, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you very much. And I am coming to you from Turkey. And it's an amazing place here. I'm actually at my uncle and auntie's place in Iskenderun, actually just outside of Iskenderun. And I'm overlooking the ocean, and it's a beautiful spot here. It's really, it's very magical. If you picture the Greek islands, it's got a similar kind of feel to it. Very different to the cities. The city areas here are a lot more hectic and chaotic a real culture shock. I would say Turkey is quite an amazing place, such rich history here, same with Greece. And really, I'm having some family time. I'm here with my mum and catching up with my uncle and auntie, and we're just having a very relaxing time over here. So most of this week I have spent on planes. I went from Brisbane to Seoul. That was about a 10-hour flight, and then stayed overnight in Seoul in Korea. And then the next day flew to Istanbul. That was about another 10 hours. And then another 2 hours or so from Istanbul to Iskenderun, which is on the south side of Turkey. So it's been a lot of time in aeroplanes and in air conditioning, and so I've kind of picked up a little bit of a flu, which I very rarely get sick, but I think in air conditioning, and I think with the flu season among us, it's very easy to get sick in that kind of environment. So I've been just really resting while I've been here, and recovering and taking some time out with family. So it's been really lovely, and it's great to connect with you guys. It is 5 a.m. over here right now, or just past 5 a.m. So, being able to do something like this from across the world with all of us, I think is absolutely fantastic. And I would miss it if I didn't hop on each week with you guys. So it's great to be back.
Fantastic.
Thank you, Alden.
If I knew that.
You're keen to be on every week.
Thank you. It's great. I love the show. I never know what's going to come out. And you guys amuse me all the time. You know, I have a good laugh whenever I hop on this show. So
if I knew.
So it's just great. I think there's a great atmosphere between all of us.
If I knew you were going, like, because I remember you said last week, if you weren't sure of your internet, what was going to be like there. And
yes.
If I knew, there's that famous song about, you know, Istanbul, not Constantinople. Now, I wouldn't have played it because Brad would have jumped on me. But play that song, you know, when you get a chance, because it is that famous song about Istanbul and Constantinople. And,
yes.
I thought it was 1930s
or 1940s. Yes, I love that song. And actually, where I am, internet is very scratchy where I am, but I'm actually buffering off my auntie's mobile at the moment. So that's how I'm managing to get on the internet. So it is very dicey, so hopefully I won't cut out through the show. We'll see how we go.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So have weather over there, Alderman, is it hot or?
Oh, it is actually very hot here. It is summertime right now, and I think it was 42 degrees the other day, so it's just absolutely sweltering hot. Lucky I'm near the beach, and I went in the ocean yesterday, and it was absolutely magical. And they don't have waves. It's not like Australia where we have a lot of surf beaches. Here it's just very flat, although it is still very nice. So, and there's pools here, which I prefer ocean over pool any day, personally. I don't know about you guys, but pools are not my thing. I really prefer the salt water of the ocean. So what about you?
Yeah, I agree. I think I like the salt water better than the pool, but it depends on the beach, maybe, you know.
Are you going to get down Anzac Cove? Do you have a chance? Or I can't think of what the distance would be for you to travel from where you are.
I'm not sure. We're Gallipoli. That would be amazing to go there. Actually, I'm not sure. I'd have to look. That up. I'm over near the Syria side of Turkey, so okay, right over, southeast side of Turkey.
Yep, but it would be great to see. Like, I mean, I've wanted to see, but I would never go during the Anzac period because it's just too crowded with backpackers now and everybody else trying to sort of, you know, they've turned it into like almost like a rock concert, whereas I would prefer to go at a completely different time of the year and wander around where you haven't got hordes of people. So, I mean, whether the heat would be too hot, maybe it's too hot now, but, I mean, if there's an opportunity, you could get up there and see Anzac Cove and Gallipoli and, you know, that whole Dardanelles end of Turkey.
Actually, I've just had a quick Google of it, and Gallipoli is actually over near Istanbul. So from where I am, it would be about a 2-hour flight to Gallipoli.
Okay,
so
yeah, that's a fair jump.
It would have to be. It's a fair way. So it's way over near Istanbul. So I'd say that's how a lot of people go. They probably fly into Istanbul and they could even drive over.
Yep.
It looks like a very nice place.
Yeah, they've done it up. I mean, I think Australian government has helped with that as well. But that whole, you know, Anzac Cove, the whole Gallipoli Peninsula, I think they've done a lot of work sort of modernising the road access, because they get so many busloads of tourists there during Anzac Day commemorations. And so I think they spent, you know, the Turkish government's probably spent a lot of money too on doing that up.
Right. It'd be a big tourist attraction. It's not far also from the Greek border. I can see Gallipoli here.
Yep.
And south of Gallipoli, there's a place called Izmir and Bodrum, and they're both very big touristy areas in Turkey and absolutely gorgeous. If you look them up, Izmir and Bodrum. So Turkey does have really some beautiful spots around it. And we were talking before the show about how Turkey has had a really hard time in Europe since the, you know, Ottoman Empire and Byzantine Empire. And, you know, because it is the bridge across Europe, it's been involved in a lot of wars, and a lot of other parts of Europe have staked their claim on what used to be Turkey. And so now Turkey's become smaller and smaller over time. And, you know, personally, I think all that fighting is just ridiculous, because at the end of the day, we die and none of it comes with us. So it's just, you know, a few people being very greedy on this planet while they're here. And at the end of the day, we're all going to die and end up in the same place. Well, depending on your beliefs, of course, depending on if you believe in the afterlife or if you believe in heaven or hell or purgatory. But, you know, I just think wars are futile. And, you know, coming to a place like Turkey, you do feel the rich history and culture of the place. And, you know, the people are very warm and very lovely people here, very, very accommodating, very, very hospitable people. And it's really humbling to come here. My parents were actually born in Turkey, as I mentioned earlier, and I have some Greek and Ukrainian blood in my family. So they're very, very interesting parts of Europe. And I say I'm the love child because all three countries were at war with each other. So I'm very grateful that I've got such amazing culture in my blood. And I think in Australia, you know, it's great that Australia is so multicultural. I think we could, you know, learn a lot from other cultures and really celebrate, you know, the amazing diversity we have on the planet, because everyone is really so unique, and the rich cultural history, you can learn just so much from history. So I'm loving it. I'm lapping it up here at the moment and really enjoying it. And so there you go, a bit of a cultural lesson here today on the show. And I know we're not here to talk about geology and history.
Geography.
However, you never know which way these shows will go.
Are we in a school class at the moment? an old teacher.
Yes, that's right.
These are the bonuses. These are all the bonuses people get on a tech webcast show. So you never know where we're going to go with it.
Yes, well, the technology side of it is that, you know, these days when I asked, because I was unsure where, you know, the Anzac Cove was compared to where you were, you just were able to Google it and get an exact distance, and it'd take 2 hours to fly and this and that and that. And whereas once before, you would have had to grab your atlas out and try to sort it out. So there's the tech. For anyone who wants the technology angle, there's the technology angle.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? That's right, absolutely. There's technology in everything we do. The fact that we're talking right now, we've got two of us from Australia, one from America and one in Turkey right now. The fact that we're all chatting on this show across the country, across the world, is absolutely awesome, you know. So that's technology in action, that we can now communicate like never before and get messages across and collaborate from different parts of the world. And come together as one. So it's actually, you know, a beautiful way to, you know, to create some kind of world peace, you know, by sharing messages across the planet.
Yeah, definitely. So it's
brilliant.
So, Dale, let's talk about iPhone for a few minutes.
Yes.
Audrey hasn't got an iPhone. We've been trying to get her onto the iPhone for the past 6 months or so, maybe more.
A million bajillion days.
Exactly, no. Jacob. And Daryl, let's try and convert her onto the iPhone.
As we mentioned at the beginning, with the 10th anniversary of the original iPhone, you know, I know there's, you know, it's a bit like Mac and Windows, you know, iPhone and Android. It's, you know, people war about that, you know, which is the best and mine's better than yours and all the rest of it. But if you go back to, if you think it's only 10 years ago, it feels like the iPhone's been around, or smartphones have been around for 20 or 30 years, but it's only 10 years ago. And if you go back previous to whatever flip phone, whatever type of feature phone you were using at the time, and navigating the ugly menus and the tiny buttons, and it was a nightmare when you compare it. And I think that's why, you know, and Steve Jobs initially, obviously he saw, you know, big financial gain for Apple, but he saw that smartphones were not, well, there were no smartphones, but phones were certainly not smart. And he came along and he looked at, you know, simple things like a full keyboard on your phone and apps rather than that you could tap through to do things, rather than having like 3 and 4 depth menus to try and find just to do a simple thing in the settings. And really, I think that first iPhone, when it came out, and it was like revolutionary, or even as, you know, as Apple would say, but yeah, you know, it was revolutionary. And all of a sudden, you know, the smartphone arrived, and then Android came. You know, Google developed Android not long after and started, you know, rolling out Android phones. But the thing was, you know, suddenly the phone became useful. And if you want to blame anyone for why millions of people now sit staring at their phones on trams and trains and everything else, you've really got to blame Steve Jobs for that, because he took the phone from just being something that you might make a telephone call with and maybe send a text message, and that was really about it. To being now a basically a computer in your pocket.
Exactly. Yep, I agree, Daryl. And the iPhone, I love the iPhone. I would never use anything but the iPhone. I swear by the iPhone. If anyone's after a new phone, go and buy an iPhone. Apple is not paying me to say that, by the way. Go ahead, Jacob.
I've never owned an iPhone, but I've held an iPhone that. The closest that I've held is an iPhone 4.
Mm-hmm.
That built very nice. It's just my neighbor Jerry. I told him that he needs to upgrade his phone. His phone is an old 16 gig. He's got full of photos and stuff, like when he was out with his granddaughter and stuff like that.
Well, he needs to back the phone up first before he throws it away.
Oh, although that's the problem. They don't have the iCloud.
Well, then has he got iTunes?
It was his wife's cell phone, so.
Oh, God.
She's got the new iPhone 6, newest iPhone
6. Okay, all right. So, Auden, have you ever owned an iPhone before?
Yes, I have. Now, I've actually had a few iPhones quite a few years ago, and the problem I had with iPhones is that I would get the black screen of death that would happen on the iPhone, and it happened 2 or 3 times. And in the end, I just got so annoyed with it that I went over to the Samsung, and I've got a Samsung Note 3 now, which I absolutely love. And at the time when I was looking to either get another iPhone or to get a Samsung, I actually asked quite a few people at different phone shops what they recommend, the people that are actually selling the phones. And most of them that I talked to actually recommended the Samsung, which is interesting. So they just said you can get a lot more apps on it, and you're not as limited as with iPhone. So I know when you update the software with iPhone, sometimes you can just lose things. You can lose photos, or you can lose contacts, or, you know, you can just lose things. And so it became a little bit scary for me, the iPhone. Also at the time when I was looking at either iPhone or Samsung, I liked it. The Samsung Note was a lot bigger than any iPhone at that time. So going back 2 or 3 years now, and I love the big screen. You know, I found it very annoying, the small screens with the iPhone back then. And, of course, now iPhone have come out with bigger screens and they've updated their technology, et cetera. And, you know, I don't know how iPhones are now. I presume they've probably come a long way with their technology. But I must say I just had a few bad experiences and it turned me off the old iPhone. In saying that, I use a MacBook Air. I love my MacBook Air. You know, the MacBook I find so much better than the PCs, personally. I really love them. And it is a bit of a pain having a Samsung phone with a MacBook, because the photos don't sync properly, even though you've got things like Samsung Keys and Smart Switch, I think is the other one, where you can download photos. It's not as easy as it sounds, particularly if you've got a lot of photos on your phone. So that doesn't necessarily work well. So when I look at upgrading my phone, I will definitely consider the iPhone. But at the moment, I'm quite happy with the Samsung. I don't feel the need right now to upgrade it. I did look into it. It was going to cost me, I think, about $1,500 to get an iPhone if I wanted to change it. But right now, as I say, my Samsung's just fine. It's working great. It's got all my contacts and photos and everything in there, and I'm quite happy with it. So it's, I guess until the point comes where it's no longer any good, then I'll look at my options then. So, but you know, I get people that are Apple crazy, you know, Apple crazy about everything generally, and you know, Samsung's like an evil word. You know, it's like the dark side.
Well, I've got a mixture of devices. I mean, I'm sitting in front of a Windows 10, you know, desktop computer, and I've got an iPhone and an iPad, and I had an old notebook that had Linux running on it, and so yeah, and I think it comes back to it's sort of like an ecosystem. I mean, you were saying about, you know, like with all your contacts on Samsung and all the rest of it, and of course, you know, you're using Android, which is sort of Google's operating system, and so if you've got Gmail and you've got all those sorts of things, it fits very well, because you can, you know, you've got already got a Google account created, so you just add those Google credentials on your phone, and suddenly all your stuff that you've had on Google is pulled into your phone, and away you go. And it's the same in the other, in reverse for, you know, Apple. If you use iCloud and you use Apple services, then it's much more integrated, and so they both want you to stay in their ecosystem, so they make their ecosystem very usable for their device and not quite as usable for the other device, because they don't want you to, you know, jump ship. There's no really right or wrong answer. It's just whatever you feel comfortable with and what suits your purpose. But, you know, the idea, I mean, the 10th anniversary, I mean, we can all thank Steve Jobs, whether we use an iPhone or whether we use a Samsung or a HTC or, you know, because hit that original iPhone kicked the rest of the phone community in the bum and said, you know, this is what a phone should be doing, not the stuff you're producing at the moment. And you know, Android came out, and then Windows brought their Windows phones out. But yeah, it just changed the whole era of smartphones, and then tablets rolled in, and you know, after that. And so I think that will go back as the initial sort of, you know, you had the creation of the first PC. Well, that will be the first decent phone was his original iPhone.
Yes, absolutely. And the thing, you know, you mentioned a very important thing there is backup. You know, when my black screen of death came up, I didn't have a proper backup, unfortunately. Yep. I was not hooked up to the Apple backup. And so I lost a lot of contacts, I lost a lot of photos, and that is so annoying for anyone who's had that experience. Yep. That is so damn annoying. So make sure that you are hooked up with the automatic backup, whether you're Samsung or Apple.
Yep. And that was another example of difference between, say, when the iPhone came along and previous, you know, if you remember the days of the feature phones, and you have a phone, you'd this cumbersome way, you'd add all your contacts in, and then your phone would start to die, and you'd think, oh, I better get another phone. So you get another phone, and then you had to go through this massive issue of, how do I get my contacts from my old phone to my new phone? And sometimes you had to plug the phone in, and you had special little software that would copy across. Yeah, but sometimes you just couldn't get it, and you virtually had to start again and put your contacts in. You know, and so when the iPhone came along and it gave that iCloud linkage where you could synchronize your contacts, not just with an iPhone, but if you've got an iPad, you can synchronize your contacts with them and with the cloud. It just meant that every time, you know, your iPhone died and you said, oh, well, I've got to replace it, once you logged in, all your contacts got pulled back down again, and there you were, you're up ready to go again. And that's something we sort of take for granted now, but you go back 10 years and it could be a nightmare if you're using a business phone for business, to keep your contacts and all that when you're changing phones.
Yes, absolutely. The other thing I didn't like about the original iPhones is the battery life was really shorter. You had to keep charging your battery all the time. So I believe that has really changed a lot. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's still not like the feature phones, but it has changed.
Yeah, definitely.
Hey, don't forget about the cable.
The cable. The what?
Yeah, the nasty fat 32-pin cable, and now you got that nice little lightning cable.
Oh, yes, that's changed.
That's changed.
And it's also changed, you know, getting, I mean, when the iPhone first came out, you know, when you had to upgrade the operating system, you had to do it you know, via iTunes. You had to plug your phone into your computer and have iTunes and sit there and it would download. Now it's, you know, it followed Android in a way. It was, it's over the air, you know, you just, it notifies you and says there's a new iOS version, please, you know, install now or whenever you need. You, as long as you've got, you know, enough battery power and you've got your Wi-Fi going, you can just, away you go. But yeah, backing up's important because any phone, if you're upgrading the operating system, just like a computer, things can go wrong, you know. And I always say to people, you know, if you're not a tech person, when a new version comes out, don't be the first to install it. Wait a few weeks and see how it goes. You know, see, and the people who install it first, the tech geeks and all the rest of it, they'll soon report back if there are any issues and say, hey, but don't you be the first, because, you know, don't be the test bed for Apple or Android. You just sit back, wait for the tech bloggers and all those who do it straight away so they can report on, let them do it, and then you jump in later and when it's any bugs have been ironed out, and then install it.
So Darryl, I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're on the iPhone at the moment, right? Which iPhone do you have?
6.
Okay, so what? How many iPhones have you had?
This is a third, I think. Yeah, I had a I think it's a third. I think third iPhone. Yeah. An iPhone 5, I think, and an iPhone 3, I think. Yeah, I think this is a third iPhone I've had.
Okay.
Yeah, I tend to use an iPhone and an iPad until such times it starts to get so sluggish. I haven't had an iPhone or an iPad that's just sort of like died and that's it, and you've just got to go out and buy another one. Generally what happens is it just becomes so sluggish, like you go to swipe and then it jitters and you can't swipe properly. And what also sort of, you know, when Apple finally come out and say, no, your device is no longer going to get any updates because it's too old, that's when I start considering it, because I do feel guilty, you know, if the phone's still working well, thinking about buying another one. I think, well, this one's, like, my iPhone 6 is still functioning, other than I've got a bug with the way that reads the battery, but other than that, it's still working really well. And I'll just keep it, and then when, you know, when it starts really, the performance drops off, then I'll look at, well, okay, well, what's the next iPhone that's just about to come out, or it's just come out, and then I'll look at upgrading then.
Yeah, definitely. Now, Jake, what were you mentioning in Skype? You got a question or something, or a comment?
Well, it's Apple-oriented. The Mac Mini is now 1,000 days old.
Really? Well, I have a Mac Mini.
That's why I was mentioning it.
I love the Mac Mini. I love it. Ooh. Works great. Works fantastic. So, Alderman, Jacob, you've got an iPad Mini. You've never owned an iPhone before?
I've held an iPhone, but not owned one.
Okay. So, Alderman, what will it take for you to move to an iPhone?
It'll probably happen when something goes wrong with my Samsung, when my Samsung starts playing up and it's time for a new phone. So I don't really see the point in changing phones right now because I'm happy with what I've got. So
yeah,
I just see it as excessive. So when it gets to the point, which my phone is now, you know, it's coming on to probably 3 years old. So, you know, so when it gets to the point where my phone stops working properly, which, you know, which there were some signs of it the other day that the screen was freezing up a little bit, but right now it seems to be okay. But if that keeps happening then and it's time to upgrade, then I will definitely look at the iPhone then, because I do believe it's come a long way with the technology now since I had it. And I'll be backing up properly next time.
Yes.
I have noticed with the Apple phones, the camera quality is fantastic that I've noticed. The camera and video quality on the Apple phones is brilliant. So I do really like that side of it as well.
Awesome. But, so, Darryl, we've got about 2 minutes left before the podcast ends because I'm on one of them time people. What do you want to say? Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say final thing, I mean, on the iPhone and or phones and their influence. So before the first iPhone came out, a number of years before the iPhone came out, a friend of mine were having coffee and she was into, she's into, you know, e-learning and education, has a PhD. And she was, and she actually said to me at the time, she said, you know, in a few years' time, more people on the planet will get their internet from a device, as you called it then, like, because there's no such thing as a smartphone, than they will from a computer. And I sort of looked at her and thought, huh? Because I was looking at my terrible little phone and I thought, you're kidding, you know, no one's going to be wanting to use the internet on these things. And not knowing about the iPhone coming out, you know, a few years later, and she was right, because if you think now, even in countries like, you know, in the developing world, like in Asia and in parts of Africa and that now, they might not have iPhones because they're just too costly, but they have cheaper Android-powered phones. And a lot of those countries now have not rolled out fixed line internet. They went straight to mobile phone technology because they didn't. And so now more people probably on the planet are accessing the internet through a device rather than through a notebook or a desktop computer. It's just something to sort of to ponder.
Yep. Spot on. Now let's talk about the iPhone 8 coming up real quick. What's your predictions, Daryl?
I'm never very good at predictions and things like that. It'll probably have a more powerful camera. Maybe, you know, real 4K, hopefully a much better front-facing camera so that, you know, for those people who are vloggers that want to use their phone to vlog and not, you know, have to buy a video camera or a DSLR, hopefully better battery life. I presume they'll look at screen technology, whether they go to some sort of, you know, better screen technology and that. But yeah, and again, you know, storage, they're going to need more storage again if you're going to start running. And probably a faster processor. They'll have, with all of this stuff, they'll have to, you know, wind up and put a faster processor in. But those are the sorts of things I'd like to see. But I'm not very good at predicting what they're going to do. But yeah, I'd like to see particularly a better front camera on it, because you know, you look at the numbers of people that do vlogs now and they use their mobile phone as a vlogging tool rather than going out and buying a separate DSLR with video or a video camera.
Yeah, definitely. I agree what you just said 100%. You are right, and it will happen, hopefully. Jacob, let's go to you. Actually, before we go to Jacob, Daryl, where can they get hold of you, mate?
They can get hold of me at on the Twitters at Learnscape and Google Plus at Daryl Hunt, and I'm also on LinkedIn, Facebook, and probably a few other sites that I've forgotten about. But yep, that's where you can find me.
And stop sending me invites, links in, will you?
I don't send you invites.
I'm not a fan of LinkedIn.
I don't actually send anyone invites to LinkedIn. So is it really automatically doing it? Is it be one of those? Okay. Because I don't, not from you, Daryl.
From LinkedIn.
I mean, we have a episode. I mean, LinkedIn is really it's a business. It's more business orientated, where you know if you want to mix with other people in the business that you're in, or you're looking for work, and that sort of stuff. But I do agree that as an interface, as a user interface, I don't particularly like the LinkedIn's UI. But anyway, that's for another show.
Okay.
Oops, we've gone silent. What happened? What happened?
Is Brad still there? Maybe he's just dropped off for a minute. Well, I just want to mention something while we're waiting for Brad to come back. I just did a quick search of how many internet users actually access the internet from their mobile devices, and it's about 40%.
Yep.
About 40% of users access internet through their mobile phones. And these are some stats here that there's actually about over 40% of the world's population are actually using the internet. So about 3.26 billion internet users currently. So over 40% of the world's population, and of those 40% using the internet, 40% of those are using it from mobile devices, and that is increasing all the time. So things are definitely changing, and the smartphones are definitely becoming like the new computer.
I still
find, you know, doing emails a lot better off a laptop, because it takes ages to touch type emails through the phone. So it's not very practical, I think, as far as if you want to save time and you want to do a lot of typing, the phone's really not good for that. So I think you do need either a tablet or a laptop as well as your phone, personally, if you're doing a lot of business-related emails. However, it's great for things like browsing, you know, social media, things like that. It's great.
Well, a number of countries, particularly in the developed world, you know, when they're rolling out or they're putting internet in, they didn't go down the same route as, say, Australia or the US or Western Europe, where they, you know, you had telephone lines and then you put ADSL and or cable in and then you rolled out a mobile phone network, because they never really had the sort of fixed line telephone systems across the country. They went straight to cellular and put towers everywhere, and so even like we're using Skype. I mean, it's why Skype, even with all its bugs and nuisance, it's so highly used, because there are so many people in the developed world who they might have friends and family who are working in Europe or Australia or the US, and that's the best way they can contact them is, you know, using Skype or using whatever. But yeah, my friend many years ago mentioned, I kept sort of saying, oh, you're kidding, we'd never have it because the phone technology is so awful. But she obviously knew something that I didn't about what was coming up in the wind. And eventually I think she'll be right that the more people will use devices on the net.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously you want the best device to do that with, and you know, whatever's best for you. So definitely, yep. Apple is an awesome phone by the sound of it nowadays.
But yeah,
a lot of those early glitches have been ironed out. So congratulations to Apple for the 10th anniversary.
And I think it wasn't whether you're an Apple or an Android user. It was just the influence that very first phone has had on the whole industry. You know, the whole of mobile phones, the whole mobile technology is. You know, we'll probably, people in 50 years' time, when they're looking at that, whatever they're using then, we'll trace back. It'll be like the Model T Ford, you know. They'll trace back the mass marketing of decent cars to the Model T Ford, and they'll track it back to Steve Jobs and the original iPhone.
Yes, absolutely. So Steve Jobs, what a legend he was, and what a legacy he left. And actually, I just saw a movie the other day called The Founder. It was all about McDonald's. Have you guys seen that about Ray Kroc
and how he took McDonald's worldwide?
That was very interesting too. I mean, he used some very snaky, some very shrewd tactics to do so. However, it's interesting. And I mean, same with Steve Jobs. You know, he was a very astute businessman, just like Ray Kroc was, and, you know, wasn't afraid to step on people's toes to get where he wanted to go. However, look what he's created. You know, they've both created legacies with what they do or what they've done. So, I think there's nicer ways to go about it. But, of course, you know, the Americans are known for their shrewd business sense, aren't they, Jacob? You know, over there, they've created a lot of things that, the rest of the world now use, and obviously have employed a lot of people in that time too, you know, been great for the economy.
Yes, I certainly wouldn't like to have, say, worked for Steve Jobs, because I think he would have been an extremely hard man to work for, because he's a perfectionist, and I think he would have driven you into an early grave, worked you to death. And I think the same Henry Ford with the old Model T Ford was the same. And so a lot of those guys, they were brilliant, they were geniuses in what they did, but they were very hard guys to work for. You had to be equally as hard to survive, I think.
Yes, and same with Ray Kroc. You know, Ray Kroc wasn't actually the original founder of McDonald's, but he called himself the founder. And if you watch the movie, it's a very, very interesting insight into the history of McDonald's. You know, it was started by two guys in the country.
Yep. Excellent. So I don't know what's happened to Brad, whether he's – I don't want to sort of
– he actually messaged me and said, keep going.
Oh, okay.
He'll be right back.
Okay. So we'll keep winding up.
Someone's there.
This is live podcasting. Sometimes things happen. You know, people knock on the door or start doing building works in front of you, and then you sort of, you know, you've got hammers and stuff going. But so yes, because I didn't want to sort of say, oh, look, I'll close it down, because Brad's got all the outro music and all that sort of stuff that maybe you guys that listen to Tech Webcast don't realise how it goes on at the end and that sort of thing. But we have introductions and outroductions and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, so we could do an episode almost on like the great entrepreneurs, but particularly that came out of the United States that have driven things like technology, like, you know, your McDonald's and your Apples and your Ford Motor Company and, well, Google and Microsoft and you know, you can name, just you just keep naming these huge American corporations.
Yeah.
Because you know, they've changed the world in good and bad ways. But you know, and so you know, Microsoft, it was, you know, when I was first involved with computers, I mean, Microsoft was just this small company, and it grew to become a behemoth, and then, you know, Apple almost died in the early 1990s, and then they bought Steve Jobs back, and people thought at the time Apple was dead and dusted, and then Apple rose again and became some of the most, you know, valuable company in the US, and then Sergey Brin and Larry Page came along and out of their carport sort of almost invented Google. We all used different search engines in those days, Alta Vista and Dogpile and a range of them, and all of a sudden now the term Google is in the language. You know, well, I'll go and Google it. Even if I don't use Google, even if I use, God forbid, you know, Bing or something like that, you'll still hear people say, oh, I'll go and Google that. And so that's become part of the and Google's become this powerful computer company. And, you know, and the interesting thing is, who is going to be next? I mean, Amazon, you know, look at Amazon. It's become this behemoth. You know, it started off just selling books online before the dot-com bubble burst in the early 2000s. And look at it now. It's just about, in the next year or two, it's going to arrive fully in Australia, and already the big department stores in Australia are scared witless, and they're all trying to do different things because they know Amazon's knocking on the front door.
I know what you mean. They're still contemplating on buying Whole Foods and stuff like that out here.
Yeah, and that also puts the fear into the supermarkets, because we've got like a big duopoly, like, you know, we've got, you know, Coles and Woolworths here in Australia, and they sort of dominate supermarket, you know, fresh food and all that sort of stuff. And I'm sure their executives are looking over their shoulders, because they hear that Amazon's going to buy Whole Foods in the US, and then think, well, when they get to Australia, you know, what are they going to do once they get established in Australia, you know? And so, yeah, and they're another big company that started off just on the internet. You know, you bought books and a bit of stuff, and they just kept growing and growing and growing. And, I'm sort of looking forward to Amazon arriving, because I'd like to see what they have. And I do buy some stuff from Amazon, but I can't always get it, because I'll say, yes, you can buy it, but we don't ship it to Australia. And so hopefully we'll get the full range of stuff, of products that you can get in the US.
Yeah, the problem with that is they have to build all those warehouses around Australia.
So, well, that's what they're looking at now. They're actually, I think the last I heard is that their people are out looking at sites in a number of places in Australia to actually buy the land, and then, yes, to build the big warehouses. And so they're looking at that. I think that's why it's probably a couple more years away, because they have to, you know, buy the land and get approval and then build the big, you know, the big distribution centres. But it will be interesting, because Australia is different than the US, because we have a much smaller population, and we've got big distances between populations. The US has got lots of towns and cities scattered almost right across the continent, whereas in Australia we've got our bigger cities, and then we've got big gaps between communities and that. So it'll be, you know, and so transporting goods is probably much more expensive to population centers in Australia than it is in the US. So it's going to be interesting how Amazon, you know, they obviously must think they can solve these problems. Otherwise, they wouldn't be investing whatever they're going to invest in coming to Australia.
Yeah. That would be pretty good, because then in reverse, they could put stuff from Australia in the US store, then vice, and on the other side, vice versa.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not just all one-way traffic. I mean, there's opportunity. I'm sure there'd be opportunities for Australian companies that are producing stuff to say, hey, you know, we can now link in with Amazon and sell our products to the big US market with its much bigger population. So, you know, that's what I think. There'll be people that'll be scared of Amazon coming, companies that'll be scared of Amazon coming, saying, oh, it's going to kill us, you know. And there'll be other companies that'll be rubbing their hands saying, hey, here's an opportunity to jump into Amazon's ecosystem and maybe branch out and get popular in the US.
And Brad is saying, it's wrap-up time.
It's wrap-up time. So is he going to come in and wrap it up, or do I have to wrap it up? This is live.
He wants me to do his Twitter and stuff like that.
Oh well, okay. So you're really getting. So people here today are really getting an overview of what it's actually like. Behind the scenes in a podcast and how you finish up a podcast and what can happen during the end of a show. And so if you give your Twitter handle and Brad's Twitter handle, and I think Aldwin's still here, and then I can, if you want, I can play the outro we can end the show.
Okay, for Brad, it's Brad Oz, then... You can follow him back at Tech Webcast, and you can follow me at JazzBot32669 1Z. And on to you, Daryl.
And yes, you can follow me on the Twitters at LearnScape and at Google Plus at Daryl Hunt. I think originally I mentioned LinkedIn, and we got into this debate about LinkedIn, but you can find me on LinkedIn and virtually a number of other platforms. Yes, certainly at LearnScape on the Twitters.
And Aldwin?
Thank you for listening to Tech Webcast. Don't forget to like us on Facebook and Twitter at Tech Webcast. We'll catch you next time. Cheers.
Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast.
-10.
Tech Webcast.
9.
Tech Webcast.
8. 7.
Webcast. Tech Webcast.
6.
Tech Webcast.
5.
Tech Webcast.
4.
Tech Webcast.
3.
Three.
Tech Webcast. 2. Zeros.
Ignition. Tech Webcast.
Lift off.
Tech Webcast.
A beautiful liftoff. Climbing nicely. Roll program initiated.